What you say at the beginning of the day and how you close the day makes all the difference in the world. And Gloria and I next April the 13th we will have been married 62 years. And she's the love of my life, and bless her heart. And the last thing, in fact, I called her tonight before we came and told her good night because I told her it'd be late when I got done tonight. And the last thing I say is good night, my love. And then the next thing, before I close my eyes, I love the Lord my God with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, and all my strength. I love my neighbor as myself, fulfilling all the law and the prophets. So love is the curtain rod upon which all the law and the blessings of God hang. And then I go to John 13:34. They didn't know what he was preparing them for. They didn't know at that time that he had trained them to take his ministry to the far ends of the earth. And he said, I give you a new commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. And all men, all people will know that you're my disciples by the way you love one another. Hallelujah. Father, we come before this holy desk tonight in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. And I thank you, Father, for the anointing to deliver this message tonight accurately. And I praise you and thank you that the Word of the living God lives on the inside of me. And you supernaturally dropped this message in my heart and mind for this meeting. And I praise you for that. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. It is, well, let's see here. No good to lay there in bed at night and say, what am I going to do? That's the wrong question in the first place. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Whoa, what am I going to do? I like what Keith Moore said. He said, the answer is not in your mind. It's in this book. If the book is on the inside of you. He said, you're lying there in the bed and you open the file of your mind and you go from the front all the way to the back. Then you go to the back all the way to the front. By this time, it's 1 o'clock in the morning. Then you take them all out and put them in the floor. Then you take it all. It isn't in there. You ought to know that by now. But people have spent years and never come up with the answer. You cannot come up with it like that. So, let's turn to the book of Mark, Thank you, Jesus. And in the fourth chapter of Mark, and he began again to teach by the seaside. There was gathered unto him a great multitude. Now we don't even have a little multitude in here, but we do have online. But he had a great multitude. And he taught them many things by parables and said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. He said, listen. Now come over to the 14th verse. Thirteenth verse, and he said unto them, know you not this parable? And how then will you know all parables? So it's right here. This is basic. The sower sows the word. That is the subject. The word. The Word. Why is this called the Word of God? Because it is His bond. He is not a man that He should lie, the Son of Man that He should repent. Hath He not said it? Will He not make it good? Well, the Son of Man came and could have lied and didn't. Hallelujah. He is the truth. These are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their heart. Now, that is a key issue right there. So. Make a note of that mentally or write it down. These are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake. Do you get that? For the word's sake. Now, you can take it personally if you want to, but that'll get you in trouble. And the moment you begin to preach prosperity, somebody's coming after you. Now, Oral Roberts, by the time I came there in 1967, his office was there on campus. But originally, he had the Abundant Life magazine. And they had the Abundant Life building downtown Tulsa. Beautiful place. Oh, just wonderful. And this woman came out publicly and said, that Oral Roberts is a liar. They said, what are you talking about? He is a liar. He talks about all of this God prosperity or something, and I happen to know he's in the life insurance business. I have seen the Abundant Life building. And he'd say something like, well, you know, the Lord really takes care of me, doesn't he? I'm telling you, they called him everything. He had to have an affidavit done when he went on television signed by a judge that these healings and miracles were real. That's what I'm talking about. So, for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. These are they which are sown among thorns. Remember that. Such as hear the word, and the cares, remember Martha? Martha, Martha, you're cumbered with the care of serving. The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust or pressures of other things entering in choke the word, and the word becomes unfruitful, and that's dangerous. When this word becomes unfruitful, we're in trouble. Now, turn with me to the book of Ephesians, just momentarily. And look in the second chapter, 11th verse, wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands, at that time you were without Christ, without the anointed one and his anointing, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. Strangers from the covenants in this book. That's a sad place to be. And that is the place where most Christians are. The problem has been Old Testament and New. Do you like the Classic Amplified? It is now a KCM Amplified Classic Edition publication. So we're supposed to have the leatherbacks by Thanksgiving. So anyway, just thought maybe you'd like to know that. And a new one. Can you imagine a new one? Now then, Mark 4:19, and the cares of this world. I want to look at that. I want to look at Mark 4:23 and 24 in this one. If any man has ears to hear, let him be listening, and let him perceive and comprehend. And he said unto them, be careful what you are hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you, and more besides if you hear. Now, where do you get your information? I noticed this all the way through COVID. Did you know a cold is a coronavirus? It was the flu. Now, I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on that book. We were the first ministry allowed back into Bogota, Colombia. I'm talking about the whole team. We tested negative when we went there. We tested negative when we came back. We went to Lagos, Nigeria. We tested negative before we left, and we tested negative when we came back. The whole team did. And then for our children to come over and see us. Get out of sight. So, actually, personally, I tested negative 5 times. But it's conditional. January. Now, Jerry, January 2019, we had our ministers' conference. And I think it was when you were preaching. Anyway, I'm sitting right there on the front row. And I began to chill. If you've been sitting there next to me, you could probably heard it. I said, you can't put that on me. You know you can't put that on me. About 15 minutes and it's gone. But glory to God. But I take a lot of supplements and a lot of vitamin C. Amen. But I refuse to let that thing get in me. I'm not having it. Now, it wasn't always that way. I was in Oklahoma City preaching for Brother Hartsfield. And we were staying with Lavinia James. And Lavinia was a woman that had been healed of cancer in Brother Robert's meetings. And so she... She would go get people and take them to the services. And so we were staying there in Lavinia's home. I went to bed feeling good and got up the next morning. Oh, man, I'll tell you, I had the flu. It's just all over me. But I'd already come to the place where I promised God I would never compromise the word of faith. If it says I'm healed, I'm healed, so... Anyway, I woke up. I said, Gloria, you're going to have to shave me, but I don't trust you with the blade, so. She said, Lavinia, do you have an electric shaver? She said, yeah, I think so. So Gloria put me up in the bed and shaved my face. Got in the car, and of course, Lavinia drove us to the church. Got over there to the church, and I stood here like this. I said, I'll be back in just a moment. Well, the choir practice room was right behind the platform there. I just went in there, and Satan and I had a discussion, and he lost. So... when I walked back out there, this is what I'm talking about. We walked back out there, and when I took hold of that podium, it began to weave around a bit. So I just changed my subject and preached healing for about an hour and a half, and I was well and went home. So these are cares of the world. But now let's go on with this. I want us to look at 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Thank you, John. I saw 1 John, I said, thank you, John. Thank you, Jesus. That's been. I did. I saw 1 John. Thank you, John. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, also partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock which is among you, taking oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. Now, if you wonder what true humility is, this is it. Be clothed with clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Underline the word mighty. That word mighty is dunamis, the mighty power. That Greek word is where we came up with the word dynamite. Dynamon, dunamis, the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. How? Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, he's not a roaring lion, his teeth have been pulled. Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. Casting all your care. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. And people that worry, he'll devour you, because worry is fear-based. All of it is. Well, how do we pray for Israel? You don't know? Well, the 91st Psalm is the soldier's psalm. But Numbers 32:20 is the soldier's promise. So look that up and pray that. You cannot fight thoughts with thoughts. You have to fight thoughts with words. God's words. You find his words and you pray them. I said you find his words and you pray that. Then you have the answer before you ever pray. But we'll see that before we get through. Whom resist steadfastly in the faith. Resist him by faith. James 4:7 does not say resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Why, Brother Copeland, no, it doesn't say that. Why, no, it does. No, you don't know it does. It says, draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. Submit yourself to God and resist the devil and he'll flee from you. See, that comes first. That comes first. And you can scream and holler and flee and all that kind of stuff and get over into positive negatives. Ah, devil, I told you to flee. Well, right then, he's not going anywhere. But when you open that book and you say something like Brother Hagin, you say, just in case you can't read, let me read this to you. Father, I submit myself to you. I draw nigh to you and you're nigh to me. Now, devil, you flee. You get out of my life. and take your cares with you. Hallelujah. All right. Let's go over there and catch it like this. You can get happy over this, if you're not already. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Now listen to this. Clothe yourselves with humility as the garb of a servant, so that its covering cannot possibly be stripped from you. Isn't that good? With freedom from pride and arrogance toward one another. For God sets himself against the proud, the insolent, the overbearing, disdainful, presumptuous, and boastful. And he opposes, frustrates, and defeats them, but gives grace and favor and blessing to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves, lower yourselves in your own emotional estimation under the mighty hand of God, that in due time he may exalt you. Exalt you. God is in the business of exalting his people. But it's when you and I try to exalt ourselves. Well, I can just take care of this. No. One woman said, well, I'll tell you what. If you could just take half of this worry off me, I'd be happy. He doesn't want you worried about anything. To exalt you above that problem and above those cares. Casting, excuse me, the whole of your care, all of your anxieties, all of your worries, all of your concerns, once and for all on him, for he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. Be well balanced, temperate, sober of mind. Be vigilant and cautious at all times. For that enemy of yours, the devil, roams around like a lion roaring in fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon and devour. Withstand him. Be firm in the faith against his own set. Rooted, established, strong, immovable, and determined. Knowing that the same identical sufferings are appointed to your brotherhood, the whole body of Christ throughout the world. But you have to do it. Now that we're on that, let's turn to the book of Philippians. No, I'm getting way ahead of myself. 2 Corinthians 10. Now, I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and great gentleness of Christ, who in present am base among you, but being absent am bold towards you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I'm present with the confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty. There it is again. It is explosive, but mighty through God to the pulling down, of strongholds. It's very interesting what Rick Renner said about strongholds. And he taught about it on a wall that was built around the city of Moscow. to keep people out. But it also kept people in. A stronghold of the mind is a prison. It'll disable you, put you in a place of sickness and disease, worried. Read the book of Job. And there was only one sin in the book of Job. He made a lot of mistakes, but he didn't know any better. The devil said to God, "He will curse you to your face." But he never did do it. His wife did. She opened the door to all that mess. But he was afraid his family would sin, and he kept doing the same sacrifice over and over and over and over. He said, "I was troubled." Yet, I was not, well, let's open it. Instead of my trying to. Thank you, Jesus. Esther. My dad's mother's name was Queen Esther Copeland. They called her Esther. Sweet lady. She's about that tall. Boy, she didn't put up with any foolishness. My dad's oldest brother, Uncle Dale, born in 1900. My dad's born in 1904. Well, he went to the Navy in World War I. He came back and said the D word in Ma's kitchen. And she didn't say anything. She just walked over to the stove and got an iron skillet and walked over there. And he was about this tall. And she hit him right there and knocked him flat of his back and got over on him. She never raised her voice. She said, "Now, sonny boy, you're not talking that way in Ma's kitchen, are you?" He said, "No, ma'am." "No, ma'am." Look in the third chapter. "For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came." He's worried. He was worried about his family. He was worried. And trouble came. He said, "That which I greatly feared has come upon me." Well, people, I watched this during COVID. I watched people sit there and watch that news. I didn't watch it. I knew what it was going to say. They're going to tell me how many died. Well, they were lying about that. I found out later. Now, you know Gene Bailey in Flashpoint. Well, a member of his family departed and went home to be with the Lord. So he had to take care of things. And so he was signing for the death certificate, died of COVID. He said, "That's a lie. She didn't die of COVID. She died of cancer." "Well, no," he said, "I'm not signing that she died of COVID. She did not. That's a lie. And I'm not putting my signature to it." So how many others do you think would like that? Because everybody got a little payoff because the government would pay for it. So go ahead and lie on the death certificate. No. Now you can see it right there. "The thing which I greatly feared has come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is coming to me. That's dread. You begin to dread something. Dread doing it. Dread doing it. Well, you're worn out by the time it comes time to do it. Anyway, so now, let's go back over there to 2 Corinthians 10. And this one, I want to talk to you about it because I've experienced this more times than not. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, mental strongholds, casting down. See, this is pulling it down, casting down imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, or against what we know about, or against His Word. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, to the obedience of His anointing, having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do you look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trusts to himself that he is in Christ, let him think himself again. Now, you've heard me tell this, but this is not the only time that this happened. We had some situations that started out a little bit at a time. And this is back in the day before satellites and so forth. And TV stations, radio stations and all of that had to be paid through media. And over a period of time, it just kept on and kept on till we were $6 million behind. Well, man, I got thinking about that. $6 million. Oh, Lord, $6 million. I'd lay there in the bed tonight and I'd say, Lord, $6 million. $6 million. That's a lot of money. Well, it is a lot of money. $6 million. $6 million. $6 million. And this ministry is supposed to be out of debt, and we're behind $6 million on our TV bills. Well, we were still paying, so they didn't kick us off the station. Oh, it just bothered me. Well, Pastor George, bless his heart, he put together all of the, you know, the different departments, and they'd turn in their report to him, and then he'd turn it in to me. I said, I don't want to look at this. I don't want to read it. Gloria had already gone to bed. I said, well, I guess I'm going to have to read this thing. I got a board meeting coming up. Okay, yes, sir. This department, best year we've ever had. This department, best year we've ever had. This department, best year we've ever had. TV department, $6 million in the red. This department, best year we've ever had. And I looked at that, and the word of the Lord came to me. And the Lord said, the only one that's behind is the one you carried. He said, you were so busy worried about that one, you didn't pay attention to the rest of them, and they did good. You ought to let me take care of that. I said, Lord, I repent. I repent of it. And I went right here. Casting down imagination. See, that's where it is. It's in the mind. That stronghold, thinking about it becomes a habit. And then you think about it and think about it and think about it and think about it. And you're laying there in the bed at night. What am I going to do about that $6 million? What am I going to do about it? I heard Jimmy Swaggart was on so many radio stations, and he got behind and he said, I'm going broke. I'm just going broke. And he said, the Lord spoke to him and said, Jimmy, you already broke. He said, glory to God, I'm already broke. He said, Francis, wake up. We already broke. He said, now I know what to do. Let's start over again. Thank God we're already broke. What was he saying? We're going broke. There was nothing about that that could ever, he was just condemning himself. There was nothing about that that could ever fix it. There wasn't anything about thinking about this thing that would fix it for me. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, or after the Word. Amen. Condemnation has never done anything but condemn. It has never fixed anything, but it will ruin your life. Because you get to thinking about that, and you get to thinking about it, there's no way we're ever going to get out of this. Dear Lord, what are people going to be saying about us? That faith stuff doesn't work. Oh, no. Lord, maybe I can sell some land out here and pay this off. And I heard the Lord say, what are you going to sell next year? I'm still trying to fix it. So we got into this right here, casting down this imagination. So I called Gloria, and she got up and came down, and oh man, I'll tell you, we repented for doing that. And it's just, and I repented to the board of directors. And then, how many months was it, George?
Six.
6 months. 6 months and it was paid. Now, then after that, we would usually pay that. Well, what was that business? About what, $20 million a year, $2 million a month, something like that. And we'd pay half of it, and you know. And after that, and for the first time ever, we paid the whole bill. The ministry paid the whole bill at one time. The whole thing. And it's kind of like that blacksmith. The church came about, and the pastor said, we're going to pray for rain. Oh, he said, I don't pay much attention to that. Well, don't you want to come to the church? We're going to pray for rain. No, he said, so they went, they prayed. And the rain came. The pastor came back by there and said, you should have come. He said, Pastor, do you really believe that God heard you and caused that rain? He said, yes, I do. He picked up his hammer. He said, I'm going to tell you something. If you ever let this county get in that bad shape again, I'm going to spank you with this hammer. You don't let it get in that bad a shape. There was a time, another time, this was years before that, we were $1 million behind. So I just went up to the prayer cabin, and stayed up there over a weekend and fasted and prayed. And right before I left, the Lord said, and I didn't hear an audible voice, he said, you don't need $1 million. I said, I love you, you could have fooled me. No. He said, you have a problem in your ministry. And I tried to get it over to you, and you just touched it. But then you didn't do anything about it. The Lord said, if I provided you $1 million right now, the problem in your ministry would eat that up too. So I began to pray. I said, Lord, what is it? He said, I told you to tithe your ministry, and you said, well, okay, and just passed it off. And then he reminded me about what I said. I said, well, Lord, I mean, the ministry part, I mean, that all belongs to you. And so I said that again. He said, do people that work for the government pay taxes? Yeah. I got it. So that's when we began to tithe the ministry, the church, and everything that has come in to this ministry. And we've never been in that kind of condition again. Not ever. But these things have to be taken care of. So now, what is a stronghold? 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's move on over there now that we see this. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, out of the body I cannot tell, God knows. Such a one caught up into the third heaven. I knew such a man, whether in the body and out of the body I cannot tell, God knows. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I'll not glory, but of my infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I'll say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he sees of me to be, or that hears of me, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that were given, there was given to me, I told you to remember this now, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. A thorn in my flesh. What was the thorn Jesus talked about? You didn't do what I asked you to do. You didn't remember. Huh? The cares of this world. They're sown among thorns. The cares of this world and the lust or pressures of other things entering in choke the word. The anxiety of it all. The pressure and the anxiety. All right. In the 11th chapter, now we just came out of the 10th, of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes save one, 3 times I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned 3 times, I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been the deep, in journeyings often, perils in waters, perils of robbers, and perils of mine own countrymen, perils by the heathen, perils of the city, perils in the wilderness, in the sea, and in perils among the brethren, in weariness and pain, painfulness in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, and fastings often, and cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, that which comes upon me daily, the care of all the churches. A thorn in the flesh. Worrying about those churches. All of that was outside, but this came on me daily. Amen. I mean, there it is. That was the thorn in his flesh. And he said, I went to God 3 times to tell him, get this off me. And he said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. And there are those that said, well, now, he had bad eyes and he couldn't see. And no, that's sickness and disease to keep him from having revelation. That's like sending a dog to guard the meat. The devil would be glad to do that for him. That had nothing to do with that. It was the care of all the churches. Worried about those churches. What are we going to do? How are we going to fix this? And what did the Lord tell him? You do it. You get him off. My grace is sufficient for you to get the devil off. And this is the same man that wrote, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, suited up for war. Glory to God. Having on the full armor of God. Thank you, Jesus. So now, a mental prison they tell me that most people in mental institutions have let the devil tell them they have committed the unpardonable sin. There's no hope for them. And they get thinking about that and thinking about that and thinking about that and thinking about that and get to dwell on it and think about it and talk about it and think about it. Gloria put it like this. If you think about yourself all the time, that's enough to depress anybody. Well, because you invariably, we were in Oklahoma City and I was driving along and Brother Roberts, Kenneth, I jumped. He said, people will always tell you you can't do it. And I've noticed that to be true. He said, do these 3 things and you will always be successful. Number one, find out the will of God. That's when you search the scriptures. That's when, and he said, after that, confer no longer with flesh and blood. Don't be talking to people about it. They'll talk you out of it. Then number three, get your job done at any cost. He picked his book back up. 1, 2, 3. I wrote it down and made it a part of our lives. Find out the will of God. Once you know. Now, when the Lord said, go on daily. Well, the first thing I did, go on a daily broadcast. First thing I did, I called him. I said, sir, what about a daily broadcast? He said, Kenneth, it is so daily. I said, yes, sir, I know that. It wasn't for him to tell me. And I didn't like it at all. And I didn't smile until they turned the camera on. And then I found it in the curse of the law. Deuteronomy 28, let's turn over there, and I'll be closing with this for now. In the 45th verse, moreover, all these curses shall come on you and pursue you and overtake you until you be destroyed, because you hearken not unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and statutes which he command thee this day. And they shall be upon you for a sign and a wonder upon your seed forever, because you served not the Lord your God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. And there it was. And I said, Lord, I repent. I have ears to hear. I heard it. I love daily TV. I love daily television. Oh, I love daily television. I love daily television. Yes, I have a gladness. I serve the Lord with gladness of heart. For the abundance of all things, glory to God, glory to God, glory. I didn't feel any better. But the next time I was on there, just had one, you know, the little table out there. I get tired of looking at that hole in that camera. And I said, folks, I want you to know, I love daily television. That's when it hit me. And I jumped up and ran around the table, and I've been in love with it ever since. I had ears to hear, but I had to hear. Jesus said that all the time. Said it in the book of Revelation. Speaking to the churches, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. We'll talk about it more tomorrow in a partner service. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Praise God. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. You have to... Proverbs 4:20, my son, attend to my words. Incline your ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. They are life unto all that find them, and health and medicine to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Incline your ear unto my sayings. Praise God. Incline your ear to my sayings. Jesus said, take no thought saying, O you of little faith, take no thought saying, what shall we eat? What shall we put on? Don't do that. Take no thought saying. When you don't say it, it dies stillborn. But then when you begin to say, that's when you choose his words and say that. So I began to say, I began to say, I began to say, that's $6 million paid. I don't touch that with my thought life anymore. I do not touch it. I do not, no, 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 no. No, I bring it into captivity. I bring that thought. Isn't that what the Spirit of God said through the apostle? Bring it into captivity. And I could see this little prison with that thought behind the bars trying to get out. I said, no, 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 I don't touch that with my thought life. I do not touch that. No, no, no. No. No, no, no. That $6 million is paid. Thank you. Glory to be. Thank you, Jesus, it's paid. Thank you, Jesus. I don't take that thought saying. I do not take that thought saying. No, no. I say it's paid. I call it paid. I call things that be not as though they were. I call that $6 million paid. I call it paid. I call it paid. Now, there for a few days, it just would drift across my soul. No, you don't. No, no, no. No, you don't. No, you don't. No, I don't touch you. No, 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 no. I surround myself with faith thoughts. I put myself in a faith position on this thing. I believe it in my heart and I say it with my mouth and I begin to write it down. It's paid, glory to God. It is paid. I call it paid. Ministering spirits, you go get it and bring it in here. Are they not all ministering spirits sent to minister for the heirs of salvation? That's Hebrews 1:14. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. This room's full of angels right now. Don't forget the angels. They're all over the book. You can go to the book of Daniel and find out what wicked spirits in the heavenlies are. Daniel fasted a partial fast for 21 days. What if he had stopped the 20th day and said, well, they hadn't heard me. But he had an excellent spirit about him. And the messenger angel said, fear not, Daniel, we heard you the first day. And I am come for your words. I am come for your words. But the spirit of Persia withstood me. That's Iran. They just changed the name of it. The spirit of Persia withstood me. And when I leave, the spirit of Greece is coming. Wicked spirits in the heavens. Now that's what happens to politicians. They get to Washington, D.C. and have no earthly idea what kind of devils are getting going. And so don't jump on them about it. Forgive them. You can honestly say in some cases, they don't know what they're doing. Absolutely don't know what to do. Advisors? Well, read the book of Daniel. You'll find out what some of those advisors will do. They'll try to get you killed. There's always government advisors. And those devils do their best to run things to the two most important nations on the face of the earth. Both of them came out of the book of Genesis. The state of Israel. I'm going to correct something here. They are not occupiers. That is a sovereign state. It is a nation. You understand that? Of course they occupy it. They own it. Praise God. But forgive the people that going differently from that. That's their problem. And they just have to deal with God over that. I am instructed, judge not that I be not judged. And take heed to what I hear. For the measure in which I hear it will be measured back to me again. judge not that you be not judged. Forgive. Give, and it'll be given unto you again. Shaken down, pressed over. But that other comes first. Judge not. So, I'm not Mr. Biden's judge. I'm not Kamala Harris's judge. I'm not Donald Trump's judge. Now, I have a right and privilege to judge the politics because I'm part of this government. And if you don't vote, shut your mouth. You don't have any, you have no gripe coming. Just stay at home and hush. Hey, I mean it now. That's between you and the Lord, how you vote. But when you don't vote, just put on your chest there, don't ask me, I don't vote. Well, I don't want to vote for any of them. Well, you just voted for the wrong one when you said that. And that's what gets the nation in trouble. Oh, things are changing. Amen. And I don't get out in the middle of the street and fight. My spiritual father said, Kenneth, those people that hold signs around your meetings, they can't get a crowd on their own. They have to play off of yours. So I was, there's just a picket line around a church where I was. This young man said, Copeland doesn't believe in the blood. And so I said, stop the car. I walked over there. I said, do you know that for a fact? Yes, he doesn't believe in the blood. I said, how do you know that? Well, I just know he doesn't believe in the blood. I said, well, my name's Kenneth Copeland. He said, somebody paid him to carry that sign. And I just said, young man, I want you to know I do believe in the blood. Went on. 2 weeks almost to the day, I got a call. Asked me what I was doing. I said, I'm doing fine. Why? He said, I have a pastor here in our city, and he'd like to say something to you. So I put him on the phone. And he was weeping. He said, Brother Copeland, please forgive me. He said, those people out there picketing your meeting, he said, they came out of my church. And he said, well, they were carrying stuff around there that people told me. And he said, but I came and heard you preach. He said, all of that was a lie. And I repent. Well, now what if I'd got mad and, you know, I'll tell you, I don't know what kind of fool sent these people out here. I'd have been just as guilty as they are. Because of a reaction instead of a response. So would you please stand with me? Hallelujah. We are not in the judging business. We preach the word. We preach it in season and preach it out of season. Glory to God. We walk in it and live it, love it. And we love. And you study this book. And you go through it. And then you go back through it again and again and again. And it's all in here. All of it is in here. Gaza is in here. Samson. Now, Don't put him down. He's in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Made a lot of mistakes. Well, so what? He went in to a prostitute in Gaza. Then, and he married the wrong woman. She found out, she wormed it out of him. They took him to Gaza. And punched his eyes out. Burned them out. They didn't realize it would only be until his hair grew out. And he told a young man, put me between the two pillars of this place. And they were making fun of him in the name of their gods in Gaza. And he pulled those pillars down, and there were over 3,000 people on the roof, and they all fell in at one time in Gaza. Are you listening to me? This didn't start yesterday. It didn't start 2 weeks ago. And Hamas is in the Bible. It's the Hebrew word for violence. And just so you know, the four horsemen in the book of Revelation, the pale horse is green. That's Hamas's colors. I told you it's in the book. There's nothing new. But I'll tell you what. We are in the last of 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 the last days. We are there. And someone said the nations are falling apart. No, 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 no. They're falling into place. And you and I are privileged to be here at this time of the hour. Now, you're going to be hearing this word, this name, Clyde McGee. Clyde and Eufaula McGee, a scientist for Hughes Tool Company. And Flashpoint's going to do something on him, Victory News. Born again, Holy Ghost baptized, tongue-talking, Pentecostal believer. His wife was a Blackwood. David, he launched more satellites than any other man alive. He's the one that caused that first one to sink up with this earth. And now, the thing that people put the book of Revelation down is how could the whole world see those two witnesses? And we're watching right now a commentator in New York talking to someone in Jerusalem. Thank you very much, Clyde McGee. And he would come home and he'd say, we got to pray. How many ever remember the worldwide communion service that we had? You remember that? I called Clyde. I said, the Lord's talking to me about a worldwide communion service. Can you hook satellites together so that we can talk to one another all over the world? He said, yeah. I said, how? He said, I don't know. But you need it. I can do it. And he did all that. He put all that together so that we could have communion. And There it is. Look at that. Look at that. And there's the satellites. And there's the pictures of it. Glory to God. That's Dr. Cho and his wife behind me. And I'm holding a communion cup. You know the little plastic cups with the little wafer in top? Those little plastic cups were created so that we could do that and not have glass. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And Ross Perot Jr. flew a helicopter around the world, and he got all the press. And I met him. I said, Ross, I got a bone to pick with you. He said, Mr. Copeland, what? And I told him about that worldwide communion service. He said, that's amazing. I said, yeah, but you chose to fly a helicopter around the world at the same time you got all the press. He said, oh. I said, no. I said, anybody that has what it takes to fly a helicopter around the world, you should have got a lot of press. He said, it was a job of work. But that's what I'm talking about. So all of this is being revived. And it took a Holy Ghost baptized believer to launch those satellites and make them stick and synchronize with the earth so the book of Revelation could come to pass. And we can have people online right now in these meetings. Father, we thank you for it. But before we close, should there be anyone, any man, woman, boy, or girl that's never accepted Jesus as Lord of your life, don't put it off another second. Not one more second. I realized as a young man I liked to wait too long. I went through my time in the United States Army and training and all of that. And a lot of dangerous stuff. And learned how to fly and all that kind of thing. And Gloria and I got married in April. And then in November that year, I flew a man that was an executive for the Arkansas-Louisiana Natural Gas Company to Shreveport and back. Came back. I thought it was a day like every other day. And got in. We had a new furnished apartment. So I went in the bedroom and changed clothes and just walked out there and sat down. I thought it was like any other day. I can see it in my mind now. Mr. Weir, we got back, and I waited for him almost all day, and Gloria waited for me to come in. And I put the airplane to bed and got everything all done, got in the car and drove back to the apartment. Walked in there and sat down, and I just stopped there and I heard it right in here, Kenna. If you don't get right with me, son, you're headed to a devil's hell. Suddenly, I said, I know it. I did know it. But what do I do now? I heard my Sunday school teacher, Mrs. Taggart, in the University Baptist Church in Abilene, Texas, when I was just a little boy. And she had the boys' Sunday school class. She said, boys, she's a little woman. She's a widow woman. She wore black all the time, a little black straw hat and little artificial flowers in it. You have to ask Jesus to come in the yard. I thought, that's Old Lady Taggart. She called herself Old Lady Taggart. It sounded just as dumb as it did the first time I heard it, but I'm going to do it. I said, Jesus, come into my heart. And for several seconds there, I couldn't close my mouth. Profanity was gone from that day until this. I never heard of being a new creature, but the Lord just let me know that He took over. Glory to God. And that's when it began. The Holy Spirit in January of 63. Or are you January 67? Gloria and I got married. I was 25, she was 20. We went to ORU, we had two children. I was 30 and she was 25. And you know the rest of it pretty well. That's how slippery this slope is. Don't put this off one more second. Thank you, Jesus. So we're just going to lead them to the Lord. Just put your hand over your heart. Lift that other hand up towards heaven. And pray this out loud. You can hear it yourself when we'll lead those together. Oh God in heaven, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe with all my heart that you raised Jesus from the dead. According to the 10th chapter of the book of Romans. I believe it. And I say it with my mouth. That Jesus is my Lord. For with the heart men and women believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made. And I thank you, Father. I belong to you now, Lord Jesus. No, come on. I belong to you now, Lord Jesus. You're mine and I'm yours. I can truthfully say I am a follower of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You're my Lord. And I'll serve you all the days of my life. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit. To overflowing, just like on the day of Pentecost. I fully expect to speak in a prayer language that I never learned. I will pray with my spirit. I will sing with my spirit. And I pray with my natural mind. And I praise you and I thank you. I thank you. I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, 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 glory. And I cast all of my cares over on you. For you care for me. And I refuse to worry about things ever anymore. Because Jesus, you are now my caretaker. Hallelujah. You take my cares. And I refuse to carry the burden of it. I refuse to carry the care, the burden of it. Hallelujah. My mother, bless her sweetheart, I won't go into the reasons why, but she couldn't have any more children. Well, her appendix ruptured on the basketball court in a little town called Union, Texas, in Lubbock County. My dad, my grandfather, was born in Veneta County, Indian Territory, Cherokee Indian. And when the doctor saw that, he didn't even sew her up. He just used cadaver clamps. He said, she can't live. It's ruptured. Can't you see this? My grandfather said something like, she dies, you die, and turned around and walked out. So he just sewed her up. She has to die. They kept telling her she wouldn't live but 10 years. They'd been married 9 years when I was born. And then they tried once more and they stopped it. But she prayed all the time. She prayed. I asked my dad's sister, they're the same age. I have a picture of that basketball team. And here's Vanetta Owens. And here's Bonnie Copeland right next to her. They were on the same basketball team. But she prayed. And finally, she said, I have prayed the last prayer I'm going to pray for him. If he goes to hell, it's your fault. Gloria got saved the next week, and I got saved a week after that. Can you see what she did? She rolled all the care of it over on God, and he just took it, and here I am. That's the way it happened. So don't worry about your children. Just turn them over to him. Brother Hagin's older brother, Dub. I'll tell you, Dub Hagin was, he's a mess. And I knew him quite well. And so he just claimed Dub. And the devil would keep coming at him. And say, oh, you don't think Dub's going to get saved, do you? He said, no, I don't think that. I know it. I claimed him. That's what we're talking about. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name.